One old preacher told me one time, he said, a man that's called of God will, that's not called will swallow a whale to get to preach. But a man that is called will let a whale swallow him before he will preach. And there's two things about preaching that'll make you want to preach if you're a preacher. And that's hearing a man that can preach and hearing one that can't. Either one of them will give you the itch, boy, make you want to get up real bad and want to preach. And but anyway, I appreciate the privilege. Even in my pulpit, it's an honor to get to preach here at Grace Baptist Church. I love this place and such a good spirit here in our church. And we'll try to keep it that way. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah 43, read just a few verses and give you a real simple thought, and I'll let you go home, okay? But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. I'm going to stop right there, and the thought I want to talk about tonight is something that God is saying to his people, and God is saying to the nation of Israel, and God also could be saying it to me and you, and is likewise. I want to apply that to me and you and just preach a simple, practical sermon tonight on this. How to enjoy your salvation. Amen. Do you know there's a lot of people that saved, I believe are saved, and they just don't know how to enjoy being saved. It's amazing. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said 98% of all Christian people never live in Canaan land. They come out of Egypt and they wander in the wilderness of their life, spiritually speaking, and they never go into Canaan land. They never know what it's like to enjoy, really enjoy being saved. I mean, they act like being saved is such a burden to them. I know people personally. I can take you to some of their houses and let you meet them. And matter of fact, some of them's visited here before. And if you look at them, you think, my God, if them people saved, I don't know if I want any of it, really. And brother, there's people that they've got the wrong impression somewhere along the line, and they've missed some things and forgotten some things, and don't realize that God intends for me and you to enjoy being saved. I'll tell you, brother, I don't believe God meant for me and you to be saved and be miserable on the trip. I'll tell you what, brother, I believe God wants us to enjoy our salvation. Amen. I don't believe God wants us to be like one of those Roman Catholic monks that carry around those bag of that weight and stuff, trying to do penance to punish themselves enough for the sins they've done. Oh, brother, it ain't like that. Paul said in a jail cell, and he said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. I want to tell you, brother, God tells us in his word that we're supposed to be joyful people. Listen, I know that we're going to have trouble. I realize that. I know that the Christian life is full of it. Job said, man, it's born of a what? Woman. Not a man's born of a man. You women caused all this. Hey, man, y'all ate us out of the Garden of Eden, had us out of house and home. But I'm just trying to tell you, I done killed the service right there, Brother Sam. I'm just trying to tell you, no, I'm just kidding, ladies, but really, really, brother, listen, God, he wants us, Job said, that a man's born of a woman is just a few days and full of trouble. And I know that we're going to have problems. I know we're going to have burdens, and we're going to have dark days, and we're going to have discouraging times. But I'll tell you, in the midst of it, in the darkest day you ever had, I still believe you can enjoy being saved. And I believe you can rest in the fact that you're going to heaven when you die. And I believe you can enjoy the trip. I believe you can enjoy being saved right here, present tense on this earth. I don't believe you have to go through this life discouraged and downhearted with your chin dragging the ground and with people wondering whether or not you're even saved. Thank God, I believe God wants us to be happy. I believe God wants us to have the joy of the Lord reside deep down in our soul. I believe that tonight. You can enjoy your salvation. I'll give you a few things quickly. Number one, I want to say you can enjoy your salvation because, number one, you're going to maybe think this sounds funny, but the Bible tells us here because you have a past. You say, preacher, what in the world does that mean? Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Don't take out of context what I'm saying. But every time you'll notice when God talks to his people, God will remind them, God will reach back into their past and pull back the curtain of time, and he'll point them back to where they used to be. God said over in 2 Samuel chapter 7, when David said, I think I'm going to build God a house, I'm going to build him a temple, God told the man of God, said, you go tell David, you go tell the king that I remember when he was a little boy back on the backside of the desert and he's following the sheep around. He wasn't even a shepherd yet. He was just a little old boy followed the sheep coat. I remember when he was a nobody. Brother, God takes us and points us back to our past. Oh, brother, you can enjoy being saved if once in a while you'll just take a quick look and you'll see where God brought you from. Our problem is we're spoiled. We're spoiled to death, brother. I'll tell you, we've got everything at our fingertips, but once in a while we need to look back and see what a dirty, low-down, rotten, stinking sinner we actually was and where God found us and how God saved us from a life of sin. Oh my brother, I can't get over it. Listen, I know y'all get tired of hearing it. I've been saved over 30 years, but I can't get past it. I remember how I used to be and what I used to be. Brother Sam, I'm like you, brother. I used to do drugs and drink and run up and down the road and get in all kind of trouble. Oh, but I remember that day that the Holy Ghost came down. Oh, it flooded my soul. I'll tell you, the power of God. Oh, the conviction of God fell on me. I fell out on my face broken. Oh, just a broken shell of a young man, and God saved my soul. I know where I was going. I was going to hell, and I deserved every bit of it, brother. Amen. God could have thrown me into hell and laughed at me every step of the way, and there's nothing I could do and nothing I could say. Oh, but thank God for his grace. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. Thank God he's real, and brother, his grace extends to the outermost parts of this earth. Amen. Every once in a while, when I ain't enjoying being saved too much, I just look back and see what a dirty, rotten, low-down, stinking sinner I was and where God found me and what I was doing and how I was headed for hell. Honestly, 30 years has come and gone. I really don't believe I'd be alive today. And even if I was, I'd probably be in prison. I'd probably be shriveled up somewhere in a rehab center with needles in my veins. I'd probably be in counseling or therapy. Oh, I'd probably have a disease to eat up. I'd probably have limbs missing, no telling what, at the rate I was going. Thank God. Oh, thank God there's a God in heaven who loves us enough, brother, to follow us to the ends of this earth and to save your never dying soul from a devil's hell. You better pull the curtain back once in a while, big boy, and remember where you came from. You might be a big shot in your own mind. These living legends are a dying breed. Ain't but a few of us left. Y'all didn't get that, did you? But we really ain't living legends. We're nothing. We're nobodies. That's why we shout, Brother Gilbert. We don't shout because we're good. We don't shout because we live up to a certain standard of God's righteousness. The Bible said, oh, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's because of him and because of his blood that he shed on the cross. That's why we shout. That's why we rejoice. That's why we say, oh, what a Savior. It's because of him. When we look back and we see where we was and we see what we were and we see where we were headed, and God miraculously saved us. Amen. Now, brother, that'll make you happy to be saved. Amen. That's what's wrong with a lot of church people. A lot of us good old Baptists, why churches fuss and fight so much. They fuss and fight and carry on. If I'd ever get a glimpse of Calvary again, if I'd ever look back in their past, and if it would ever just hit them one good time, where they belonged, or where they, listen, I ran across a picture of myself the other day, believe it or not. I was flipping through my computer, through some old pictures. I saw a picture of myself, you wouldn't believe it. Brother, I mean, I had long, beautiful blonde hair, but listen, I had hair, regardless what color. Amen? But here's the point I'm trying to make. I can look in that little old picture. I can look on that Brother Sam, about a 17, 18-year-old boy, and I can see that hollow, empty look in my eyes. Oh, brother, that my mind went back 30 years. I thought, you know what? That don't tell the whole story. It wasn't just an empty look in my eyes. It's a big empty place in my heart. But Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, He filled that void. He saved my soul. And that's why I can enjoy being saved tonight. Amen. 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 Because I have a past. People say, preacher, ain't you worried about people finding out about your past? No, I tell them right out in the open. Amen. I used to be a scoundrel. Amen. That's right, brother. That's what makes it so good. The Bible said not many wise, not many noble, not many great, mighty men are chosen. Just a few. Most of us just a bunch of half-witted, dim-witted redneck. I mean, just a bunch of losers on the way to hell. God saved us. God picked us up and redeemed us by His marvelous grace and set our feet on a solid rock and put us on the highway of holiness. Amen. Thank God I didn't make a backslid Episcopalian child. We have a past. Preacher, I don't like my past. I don't either. I ain't saying that. But when I look back and I see where I was going and where I was headed, it gets me off that pity party. Because I think, young man, where would you be now? You look at where you're at and what you got. Look at your family and your church and your eternal destiny. I'm saved on my way to heaven. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad, brother. Listen, you enjoy your salvation because you have a past. Number two, I want you to notice in verse number two, we have a provider. He said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they won't overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. He said, wherever you go, I'll go. Whatever happens to you, I'll be there with you. He said, yet we don't have a high priest that can be touched that can't be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He said, we've got one that knows what you've been through. And when you feel lonely and feel bad and feel hurt and feel despair and all these other feelings, He's been there and He knows what you're going through and He can feel every bit of it for you. Amen. You have a provider. Preacher, how are we going to make it? I don't know. We got an idiot in the White House and a bunch of idiots under him helping him run it. Like Lester Roloff said, America's an insane asylum run by the inmates. I believe that, brother, but listen, we got a provider. That's one way we can enjoy our salvation. Thank God we got somebody's providing for us. He provided salvation and He's providing much, much more. Amen. He's our provider. He's able. He reminded the Israelites how He brought them out of Egypt. How He clothed them in Israel, clothed Israel in the wilderness, and how He fed them and fed them manna and gave them water to drink. And every time they got hungry, they had something to eat. And every time they got thirsty, they had something to drink. And every time they had an enemy come up against them, God fought their battles. And brother, that's the same thing God's telling me and you. It may look like we're at the end of the line. It may look like we're whipped. It may look like we're down. And it may look like we're almost counted out. And it may look like we're going to have to throw in the towel. But brother, I want to tell you what. The Bible said God is able. We're serving a God that's still able, that's still in control, that still knows what He's doing. God's not up in heaven pacing back and forth, taking nerve pills, trying to figure out what He's going to do about this mess. Brother, He is a provider, and He'll keep us and take care of us through the storm. Amen. He's always provided for His people. He's always near. He said, I'll always be near when you go through the water and the floods. And I like that part when He said, when you walk through the fire. Brother Billy, I've been through the fire a couple of times, have you? Amen. Pastor Baptist Church a time or two. I've been through the fire a couple of times. Them people, you know, walk through those coals of fire down at the fair. I could sell tickets for that. Amen. Pastor Baptist Church, watch a Baptist preacher a little while. It's worse. Amen. I've been through the fire a couple times. But honestly, like that song said, I can't remember a time. I can't remember a time that I ever went through the fire, through the hard times and the rough, rocky, stony, lonely paths where I can look back and say, Lord, you deserted me. Not one time has he ever let me down. Not one time has he ever deserted me. Not one time has he disappointed me. Not one time can I look back and say, Lord, I can't believe you let me down. Brother, he's always been there. He's helped me. He's been faithful. He's been faithful. I said he's been faithful through it all. He ain't always done things the way I wanted him to. But he's been faithful. He's been a provider. Number three, you can enjoy your salvation if you know you got a past and a provider. But you can also enjoy your salvation if you realize you have a promise. Look at verse 5. Fear not, I am with thee. My, my. All the way down through verse 7. He talks about being with his people. God promises a peace that can never be understood. A peace that passes all understanding. A rest that can never be disturbed. I remember the night I got saved. I'd heard my daddy preach about peace all them years. I didn't know what he was talking about. I really didn't know what peace meant. I just know the word. The night I got saved, I'll never forget, I walked out on the front porch and I looked up at them stars in the sky. It was a November, cold November night, and them stars was twinkling. It looked like headlights on a Buick. I mean, it looked like it was that big around. And I'd never seen the stars twinkle like that before. My sister walked out there and put her arm around me. I said, it feels like my end. Somebody took my heart out and washed it and put it back in. I mean, I had peace, brother, for the first time. I was 20 years old, and for the first time I could lay down at night and close my eyes and have deep, settled peace. Oh, brother, that's what God promises me and you. He'll give you that peace that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished, a hope that can never be disappointed, a glory that can never be clouded, a light that can never be darkened, a purity that can never be defiled, a beauty that can never be marred, a wisdom that can never be baffled, resources that can never be exhausted. He's given us all these promises throughout the Word of God. Oh, but I want to tell you the greatest promise, in my opinion, that God ever gave me and you. He said, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. No matter what you go through, no matter how bad it gets, no matter what you're facing in life, I'll never leave you.
Amen.
Like that guy sitting up here this morning, you're in Sunday school talking crazy. He'll never leave you. Now, you might get out of his will, and you may get out of fellowship with God. He ain't going to never leave you.
Amen.
He ain't going anywhere. You say, preacher, I can't feel him. I understand that. I'm the same way too. But he ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
He may, you might not see him working in your life. You ever been this way before? Now, if you're like some of us that felt the glory a few times, it spoils you. You never get used to dead worship anymore. You're never happy again. Bologna's all right if all you've ever eaten bologna. But even once you ever eat ribeye steak and that kind of stuff, bologna ain't the same. Right? Am I right? I want to tell you something, brother. If you've ever felt the glory and experienced that spirit-filled life, then when you go cold on God, you're a miserable creature. And I've been there before. I've been to church before and people shouting and praising God, people crying, people getting saved. I couldn't feel a thing. My heart's cold as a wedge.
Uh-huh.
Preacher, was you lost? No. I wasn't lost. The only way I could be lost if the devil would topple him off his throne.
Yeah.
Take my name out of the book. That's the only way. I'm still saved. I may have been out of fellowship, but he hadn't gone anywhere. My relationship didn't change. Amen? Well, he gave me that promise. He promised me when he saved me. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Many people's come and gone, like that song the kids sing sometimes over these years, these past years that I've been saved. A lot of people's come and gone. I've met a lot of people, and I've had a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintances, and some people I still know and some I don't. But I'll tell you, he's never left me. Nothing's changed between me and him. If the brother, the only thing that's changed is I love him more now than I ever did.
Amen.
We have a promise. Amen. You may not get all excited and hoot and holler and shout and cry and sling snot and sweat and all that, but that's all right. You can sit back and endure it if you want to, but I'm going to enjoy it.
Amen.
Enjoy the trip. Don't wait till you get there to learn how to shout. Learn now. And I'll say last of all, we have a purpose. Look at verse number 7. everyone that is called by my name, for I have, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Amen. We're created for his glory.
Amen.
That's why you'll never be happy doing anything else. You'll never be happy doing anything other than serving God and being in the center of God's will.
Amen.
The happiest person you'll ever know. Me and my wife was talking one day, and we was talking about, you know, people in church history. If you read about some of those people, Fox's Book of Martyrs, you ought to read it if you hadn't read it. And Debbie made this statement. She said, you know what? It just seems like them people just had something that people today don't have. Think about that a minute. I'm not saying that we're not saved and they were, but them people had a walk with the Lord that I don't think we even know about. They took them people and tied them to the stake and set fire to them, killed their kids right in front of them, and they said, recant your testimony, we'll cut you loose. And they'd stand there tied to the stake and sing hymns while they burn them to death. They took that old man, Polycarp, he is 86 years old, and they tied him to the stake and was going to burn him. They said, old man, this is your last chance. They lit the fire, and it started burning up his legs, and he went to bleeding, and he bled so much it put the fire out. And they lit it again. Now think of the pain. They said, recant, you old fool, and we'll turn you loose. You know what he said? He said, 86 years have I served him. He has done me no harm. Son, they burned him down. He went out of here shouting the victory.
Amen.
You know what? We're going to get to meet that old man.
Amen.
And you know what? When we get there, it'll probably be a while before we get to meet him because he'll be shouting and running so much, it'll probably take us a while to catch up with him.
Amen.
Amen? But I'm trying to tell you something tonight. People, we can enjoy our salvation because we have a purpose. Our purpose in life is to serve God and to glorify Him and to win souls and to do what God wants us to do. We are created for His purpose. Look at verse 10. Ronnie, come get us a song. Candace, come up and sing that song, Come to Jesus. Verse 10, he said, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. There's no Allah or no Muhammad or none of that junk. One God, Jehovah. We have a purpose. That's how you can enjoy your salvation. Listen, if you look at other people and you say, well, preacher, what about all them cults and them, you know, blinky eyes out there and people like that's got 40,000 members and they burn more money than we'll ever have. You can't go by that, brother. We got a purpose. Our job is right here in Hazelhurst, in Jeff Davis County, try to win the lost to Jesus. Keep knocking on doors. Keep winning the lost. Keep waving the bloodstained banner. Hey, it's not always about the crowd. It's not always about the biggest number. Many of those missionaries went to the foreign field and was there 5, 6, 7 years before they had the first convert. You can't go by the size. Hey, if you went by the size of the crowd, the Muslims would be the religion to get in on.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, what we're doing is going to keep waning as time goes on. Apostasy. So our type of old-time religion, old-type worship, we need to throw it in high gear and just preach harder, shout louder, and go farther.
Amen.
Let's all stand tonight with heads bowed.
Amen.
If you're here